Hello everyone, welcome to Studio 680. I'm your friend Cherry.
And I'm Wendy.
Wendy and I are classmates from class DCI 780, Design in the Real World, which is a practicum led by Professor Pinya Mishra.
Today we're going to discuss the book Taking Design Thinking to School, How Technology and Design Can Transform Teachers, Learners, and Classrooms, edited by Shelley Goldman and Zaza Kabaya Dodo.
Exactly.
Sorry for the pronunciation on that.
All right, so it consists of four parts, 17 chapters, and a total of 237 pages, including references and index.
We both chose this book to read because, for me, my 16 years of experience in the schools made me very interested in the idea of teachers as designers and looking for innovative ways for students to be more engaged in their schooling.
Wow, 16 years, that's a long time. I'm still a rookie in the profession. I had only about 2 years of part-time English teaching experience in China as an undergrad student, but day by day, I have come to realize the importance of creative teaching and learning in the classrooms. So this is my reason of choosing this book.
I think any teaching experience is great experience.
Yes.
So, Cherry, if we rate this book with stars, how many stars would you give it on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the best?
Well, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. It is a really good book that provided us with sufficient amount of information about the theory of design thinking in schools while giving adequate supportive examples of how it works in the real world. I have gained a profound understanding on this topic after reading the book, but my reason for 4 stars instead of 5 is that some of the cases and graphs are a little too informative and lack a bit of fun to interest me or for me to fully interpret it and digest. Also because it's a black and white version, so some pictures are printed not in a way clear enough to read, such as the bottom right picture on page 189. I mean, I am being a little bit picky right here, but overall, I love this book. How about you, Wendy?
I would also rate it a 4 out of 5 stars for many of the same reasons. Mm-hmm. I didn't give it the full 5 stars because I felt it was quite dense reading, and I had expected it to be a little bit more accessible to schools and teachers and principals, more of a practical text, and it didn't seem like that.
Yeah, same here. So, now we would like to discuss the book within a 5W1H framework. For 5W, we have what, who, where, when, and why. And for the 1H, we have how.
Firstly, what is design thinking?
Well, I've seen a lot of different but similar definitions on this topic. For example, this book gives a definition as, quote, here, design thinking is a method of problem solving that relies on a complex of skills, processes, and mindsets that help people generate novel solutions to problems, which you can find on page 3. And Wendy, do you still remember that in one of our previous readings that Professor Pinya provided, we talked about similar definitions with a core phrase of creative confidence?
Yeah, I do. But however differently they structured the definition with words, one thing is the same. The process is usually considered with 5 stages: empathy, define, ideate, prototype, and testing.
Can't agree more. And I will talk about that later as well. So after reading all that, I concluded my own version, Cherry's version of the definition. Design thinking is an empathy-driven approach that focuses on creating solutions to meet people's need, which is simple, but it covers all the necessary components of the definition.
I agree. Very cool. In the introduction, the authors explain that they believe that the process of design thinking using the 5 stages model is something that can help build this creative confidence in teachers and students and all designers. Mm-hmm. Once learners become proficient in design thinking, though, they no longer need to rely as much on this model and begin to, in the author's words, appreciate and fully exploit the fluidity of the design process.
Definitely. So let's move on to the next W, who. So Wendy, who do you think are involved in the design thinking process?
Well, according to the authors, design thinking is exciting because anyone can learn to do it and then go about redesigning the systems and organizations that shape their lives.
Exactly. And with more relation to the book, I think design thinking can be implemented by the collaborative effort between both teachers and students in our schools.
Absolutely. Next, where? From the examples given in this book, design thinking is happening now mostly informally in schools, driven in large part by teacher designers or other stakeholders who are willing to take the risk and implement something new and innovative in their schools.
Yes, and this often leads to others joining in and design thinking growing from within the system. So now we see a growing number of practices happening in public schools. As we witness the success from these cases, I believe teachers and school leaders have gradually become to realize the importance of it, and they're more really willing to take the design process into their professions.
Right. Now, for our next W part, which is when, design thinking has a long history, but as educators and policymakers are looking for ways to improve educational opportunities for all students, which is as important as ever right now, design thinking has gained more momentum. With the increasing focus on STEM, STEAM, and student-driven learning, design thinking can be a great way for schools to implement these experiences and help students become designers and better problem solvers.
Very well said. So the next discussion point is why. Why it is important to take design thinking to schools? Well, I think I can talk a little bit on that. According to the book, as early as 1960s, designers started to incorporate design practices such as design buildings and products into the K-12 classrooms. And a wide range of cases have proved that students succeeded under this practice. And we can also look at things in another perspective. Not only to students, teachers also develop more interest in such a way of creative teaching. So I would like to consider it as a win-win process.
Absolutely. It is easy to get into a rut as a teacher, I know I did, and lose some of the passion and enjoyment for teaching that you have at times. And so incorporating these types of projects is a great way to reinvigorate your teaching. It's always exciting to do something new and interesting, especially when you know it's also going to be interesting for your students.
Sure thing.
Okay, I think finally we can move to the last point of our discussion framework. 1H stands for how. How can we implement design thinking into our teaching practices? Cherry, what do you think?
In the book, I believe it's in chapter 4, the author mentions a method called cooperative inquiry that I found very interesting. On page 54, it quotes here, cooperative inquiry is a technology design process in which children and adults work together to create new technology for children. It is a very complex experience that provides a number of social and cognitive experiences for children when they participate over a long time, over a year.
Yes, and children can benefit socially because they're working with a group and they have to learn how to manage the team dynamics. And because it is a social experience, students can build their relationships, increase confidence, and find enjoyment while still learning. For the cognitive experience, children learn skills and they get to know the content of the technology. What a great opportunity for both students and teachers. I know that in my own classroom, as I received more devices for my students to use, I was often amazed with the things my students could do and come up with. The process of spending a whole year designing this type of project would result in so much more learning because the students would truly have to understand the concepts in order to create technology for them. And this is so much more engaging for them than the traditional instructional methods.
There is also a collaboration between the social domain and the cognitive domain that you just mentioned, that is communicative collaboration. Through my research, I found a teacher boot camp program in San Francisco Bay Area very related to this idea. They brought teachers and students together for a two-day workshop to delve into the design process to redesign the Friday night experience for children. And their mission statement goes like this: As teachers, we want to engage our students in hands-on design challenges that focus on developing empathy, promoting a bias toward action, encouraging ideation, developing metacognitive awareness, and fostering active problem-solving. I believe this statement fully explains how collaborative communication takes place among teachers, among students, and between teachers and students.
Very cool example.
Yeah. So I think we are done with our discussion framework here, but Wendy, would you like to share a little bit about the highlights of the book for you?
Of course. These are all definitely some exciting ideas from the book that we've talked about. A highlight of the book for me, though, was Chapter 3, A Praxis Model for Design Thinking, and it was written by Christelle Estrada and Shelley Goldman. Mm-hmm. These authors begin with the statement that education is not preparation for life, it is life itself. And then they spend the rest of the chapter giving examples of how to catalyze life readiness in schools. They share examples from their work in Utah, which is where I did most of my teaching, so I had a good contextual understanding of their work with teachers to promote that kind of design thinking in schools.
Wow, I love that quote. Education is life itself. But I think I need some more time to grasp the meaning behind it.
Yes, definitely. A very deep quote.
It's true.
So, what was the highlight of the book for you, Cherry?
The highlight for me is not in a specific chapter. It's one thing that I noticed in the entire book that many of the chapters and real-life cases in the book illustrates, which is the graph of the five stages of design thinking. As I said before, I would like to talk more about it. Here it is. For example, the graph shows up in page 72, 81, and 98. Some of them do not say the five words directly, but present the same idea with different words. I feel like it is a very effective way for readers like me that are relatively new to the design area to gradually get used to the process. I have the confidence right now that after the reading the book, even without drawing the graph on the paper while conducting the design project, the image is already in my mind, and I can act subconsciously, step by step, to emphasize, to define, ideate, prototype, and test.
That is very cool. And as we talked about earlier, as you get more familiar with the design process, it can become even more fluid, but it's such a great framework to start with.
True.
Well, I guess that's all for today's Studio 680 discussion. We briefly talked about our thoughts on the book, Taking Design Thinking to School. Again, my name is Wendy.
And I am Cherry. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.